With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Thursday, May 12th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we don't have baseball to talk about from last night on today's podcast because after we recorded our show yesterday, shortly after that, the Guardians postponed their game against Chicago due to a COVID outbreak among the coaching staff. First news was that manager Terry Francona would not be available to manage after testing positive. But then it got around that not just Tito, but a number of Guardians coaches and members of their traveling party would be unavailable due to testing positive. What's the latest and what do we know so far about, when the next game that the Guardians will play will be?
Well, right now, they're still scheduled to open a three-game series against the Twins on Friday night at Target Field. It seems, in talking to different people, it sounds like you said, Joe, a number of the big league coaching staff have tested positive. So they're going to have to call up some minor league coaches or different, player personnel people to fill out the coaching staff. There's no word yet on who will manage the club, and in the past when Francona, has missed games for health reasons, DeMarlo Hale, filled in last year for the final 63 games of last season. But DeMarlo apparently has also tested positive. There's no word on Sandy Alomar, who filled in for Francona in 2020 in the 60-game sprint. We don't know if he's tested positive or not. In talking to Chris Antonetti, he said that they hadn't made a decision yet on who would manage the club, but I'm guessing, if Alomar and Hale are not available, I would think they go into the minor league system. Maybe, Tracy, from the AAA manager, he from Columbus, he could come up and manage the weekend series, so I think I think they're getting close to naming this coaching staff or, the replacement coaching staff that could come down today. But other than that, just the extent of how many people, tested positive still isn't known. But as of yesterday, no players had tested positive, I don't know if they were going to start testing the players today. But I would think unless they show symptoms, they would not test them.
Yeah, that's sort of the case is right now, as far as the players are concerned, is like, as long as nobody's showing symptoms, it's sort of don't ask, don't tell. We don't want to know if you're positive because that could wipe out more than just a few players. We saw what happened when Yu Chang, Cal Quantrill, and others also tested positive a couple weeks ago. As far as what you're hearing, I had heard rumblings that, if if Hale wasn't available, if Tito wasn't available, that, you know, possibly Carl Willis is up there. He might be a candidate to sit in the driver's seat for a couple of games. If that's the case, if they don't want to pull Andy Tracy out of Columbus to bring him up. I had heard that John McDonald might be a guy that you could see come up and maybe coach a base or two if Sandy Alomar isn't available. He's a guy who they feel comfortable putting up there in that spot as well. So a lot of different moving parts. But yeah, it was interesting to see that after announcing that the game yesterday was canceled, they came out and said, well, here's our pitching rotation for Minnesota, indicating that there's a pretty good chance that they're going to play in Minnesota, and that, you know, at least none of the pitchers in that rotation had been affected by the outbreak.
Yeah, definitely. Aaron Civale was scheduled to go Wednesday. He's going to be pushed back and start Friday. Then Bieber is scheduled for Saturday and Tristan McKenzie for Sunday. It's ironic, if this game does come off Friday, if they do play, it could be managed by two substitute managers. The guy filling in for Tito and Rocco Baldelli is still, on the COVID-19 list for the Twins. Now he's missed about six games. I don't know if he's, he's ready to return for this weekend series or not.
The big big concern here is with Francona and his health. You know, he had just gotten back to being somewhat fully healthy, and you know, after missing, like you said, those last 60 games of last season, and everybody from the beginning, the storyline of the whole offseason was, is Tito going to be healthy enough to manage? Is he going to be able to go the full season? And he's what, 63 years old? This is the real big danger here is that if, you know, at 63, if he gets COVID, you know, that's not a real easy thing to come back from.
Yeah. And, the initial reports yesterday were that he was feeling good. You know, no one said he was asymptomatic, but that he was still feeling good, that he had just tested positive. And, then that's when they started testing the rest of the, did the close contact protocols and started testing the rest of the staff. Another guy we should throw in the mix, Joe, is Mike Sarbaugh. If he hasn't tested positive, you know, lengthy resume for managing in the Cleveland minor league system, he could certainly, you know, step in and run the ball club until Francona is healthy enough to return.
Yeah, I have a fear or a feeling that if they're calling up base coaches or putting people in positions to do that, that, you know, maybe Sarbaugh is among those that tested positive. We just don't know yet. And, you know, it's the team's right not to release that information unless the individual says so. We do know that the game that was missed on Wednesday night will be made up as part of a doubleheader later on in July. It will be July 23rd as part of a split doubleheader in Chicago. It'll be a 1:10 first game and a 6:15 nightcap. So at least we know when that game will be made up. Another doubleheader in this season of full doubleheaders. Boy, again, I go back to that decision not to play the 7-inning doubleheaders again this year, and it's going to come back and bite some teams, more than others.
Yeah, they, Cleveland has already played two doubleheaders. And, they've been fortunate enough to come through there without really burning out the pitching staff. And, but the more doubleheaders you play, you know, the more risk you take. And at July, you know, in July, teams will be limited to carrying a 13-man pitching staff. But, of course, I think on the split doubleheaders, you can still bring up an extra guy, right? The traditional doubleheaders, you can't.
You'll have the you'll have the 27 man for any doubleheader that you can do that. So you can almost guarantee that that'll be an extra arm to carry in the bullpen for that time. The Guardians, of course, coming off of a loss to sort of for now to split that series against the White Sox, but, you know, As far as the momentum, what the club is feeling, their ability to rally in these last couple of games, they've got to be feeling good about at least where their offense is after, sort of an up and down start.
Oh, yeah, I think so, Joe. I mean, I don't think anyone, envisioned this offense being able to, kind of generate the runs they have. The batting average they have, the on base and the slugging and the OPS, this was an unknown quality or quantity. And, they certainly have, shown that they can hold their own with, some very good teams, very good pitching staffs, and they've shown the ability to come back. And, they had the bases loaded Tuesday night in the ninth. They were down 4-1, trailing 4-1, but they still, I should say they had two runners on base in the ninth. And, Jimenez was called safe on the infield single that would have loaded the bases, but then the White Sox challenged and he was called out, and the game ended on that note. But, Francona was really impressed because the team showed the same effort they did Tuesday night as they did Monday, in the late innings when they had that, great rally and, Josh Naylor kind of carried them through, picked them up and carried them through to a 12-9 victory with eight RBIs in his last, three at-bats.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, let's go back and revisit what Naylor's been able to do. I think just remarkable that he's even out on the field right now, and he's not, you can tell he's not 100%. He's not running at full speed. He's not, as athletic looking as he was when he first came over in 2020 in the trade from San Diego. But he is right now just the spark plug for that offense, and he is giving them what Framil Reyes was supposed to be giving them, or they had hoped Framil Reyes would be giving him. Right now, Josh Naylor is probably your most effective, run producer in the middle of that lineup, backing up Jose Ramirez.
Oh, no doubt about it. He's the most dangerous hitter in the big leagues right now, Joe. Especially in clutch situations, runners in scoring position, runners in, with two outs in scoring position, in late situations with the game on the line, nobody's better in the big leagues.
And that's not something that's new either, because back before he got injured last year, that was Josh Naylor's ability to all of his home runs last year came seventh inning on. You could almost guarantee that he was going to hit one, even if it was in a meaningless or throwaway situation. Naylor always seemed to be coming up with home runs late in games before that injury, finished his season. In fact, before he hit the grand slam on Monday night, I was about to tweet, hey, here's this is about the time when Josh Naylor does Josh Naylor things. And then he hit the home run, and I was like, well, no sense in tweeting that now. It was just sort of crazy. Five grand slams for the Guardians so far this season. That's in terms of being this early in the year, five is quite a number, and it's just unexpected, I guess, is the biggest takeaway from what this Guardians offense has been able to do. Even with the relative young age of the roster.
Yeah. Youngest, youngest position roster in the big leagues, youngest team in the big leagues overall. And for them to, it's been like kind of the perfect marriage, Joe, because between the, the on base approach and then, the ability to drive in runs with runners in scoring position and in clutch situations, they've really taken advantage of that. I don't know if this is, just a hot streak or, you know, can they, you know, most teams can't carry this through 162 games, but so far through 30 games, you know, they are really a dangerous ball club, you know, when they get runners in scoring position, and they have shown that they're really never out of a ball game.
So they roll into Minnesota now for this 3-game series. We don't know who's going to be calling the shots. We do know who, you know, will be starting on the mound. How does this shape up with Minnesota, who I don't think a lot of people really expected to be at the top of the division right now, or at least at this point in the season? They're competing and contending, but how is Minnesota getting the job done and staying where they are?
Well, the Twins, you know, still have that real good offense. You know, they score runs. You know, they are really a solid ball club when it comes to offense. The big question with the Twins is, you know, they've got a lot of guys hurt, and especially on that pitching staff. Again, they pitched a lot better than people thought they would throughout May. They went 12-9 in May. They're 6-3 they went 12-9 in April and 6-3 in May. So they're off to a good start, but they've been dogged by injuries. You know, Carlos Correa is on the injured list with a bad finger. Chris Paddock, you know, came over, a right-hander who was pitching well for him, is on the IL with the elbow. You know, and of course, Miguel Sano is out, who always plays, hits well against the Indians. I mean, against the Guardians. So they've got some injury problems, especially in the pitching staff. You know, they haven't announced starters for Saturday and Sunday's game, and I think they're scrambling a little bit.
Yeah, they look like they could be piecing together things for the rotation upcoming. But you go back to the injuries. Byron Buxton is the guy who, you know, has always had trouble staying on the field. When he's on the field, he kills Cleveland. He absolutely eats him up, you know, offensively and defensively too, for that matter. He takes runs away. But you know, Buxton has, he had a knee issue. He's back. He's been back and he's hitting well. They really sort of encapsulate the spirit of their manager, who's again, not going to be there because of COVID. Rocco Baldelli does a really good job of just, you know, they're sort of really tenacious, I think is a good word to describe the way that Minnesota plays and approaches the game. So it should be a fun series, two very similar sort of approaches between the two clubs.
Yeah, the Twins were 11-8 against Cleveland last year. Even though they, you know, finished last, they went from first to last in the division. They had that horrible season. But they still always, you know, these two teams always play each other tough. You know, Jorge Polanco is kind of a thorn in Cleveland's side, as is Max Kepler. You know, so all those guys, they'll be there, I would imagine, for this weekend series and show up. And we'll see how, you know, we'll just see how, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Savali, if he can build off that you know, his last start where, you know, he did a nice job and pitched well and got his first win of the season. Then, you know, we go to Bieber, who's coming off a tough start. And then McKenzie, who's looked pretty strong the whole, you know, through five or six starts, you know, this season, Joe.
Yeah, I really get excited and look forward to watching Tristan McKenzie starts now, because of just the way he's been able to put things together and play just recently, his last few starts, like you said. Yeah, I agree. Kepler, well, Trevor Bauer isn't here to give up four home runs to Max Kepler. So, you know, might not have to worry about that. Alex Kirilloff, another guy, an outfielder who's been impressive, I think, against, you know, Cleveland in the past. We get to see Gary Sanchez and Giovanni Urshela, who are, additions from the offseason, in the Minnesota lineup, which, you know, Urshela sort of killed Cleveland in the playoffs 2 years ago. Sanchez, always good for a home run here or there, when he was with the Yankees. So, yeah, a lot of fun looking forward to that Minnesota series. How much does this COVID outbreak, since it's not really impacting the roster of the players as far as we know, but just the mental side of it without the coaching staff there and the support that these guys need, you know, being a younger roster, not having Tito in the driver's seat, not having DeMarlo Hale and some of the other guys around, how is that going to, you know, impact these guys in this series?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wish I knew. I mean, you know, these guys are so routine oriented and the coaches are part of that routine. You know, I think it's tough for a guy like Andy Tracy, if he has to come up here and manage this ball club, or a guy like John McDonald, who, you know, has kind of been around the club in spring training, but, you know, he's, you know, he's not in that locker room every day, you know? So, you know, what kind of, how do you mesh with those guys? But I think, you know, most of these guys, the players are, like I said, routine oriented. They kind of, they're coach themselves. So I think that the preparation, the pregame preparation will be okay. On the field, you know, who's pulling the strings, you know, from the dugout. Tito won't be there. You know, DeMarlo Hale won't be there. We don't know about, we don't know who on the pitching side, the coaches, and on Carl Willis, if he'll be there. But all that, I think, is that kind of, you know, that's an unknown quality, and that could really that could affect games.
Yeah, it's certainly a disadvantage for not just Tito, but for more than one coach not to be there. Certainly sort of sets the Guardians up for a difficult weekend, to say the least. All right, Hoynsie, we'll be back again tomorrow with another podcast before the series opener, and we'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe.